Some people who are good at with their hands in carpentry or the auto mechanics love to restore old antique houses or the vehicles. Obviously, I'm neither one of them. Whether it's a house or a car, the first thing they have to do is removing all the rust, all the garbage, all the stuff in there to make a proper restoration. For example, this Corvette had to be all the stuff had to be scrubbed and making it to go into the right mode. And final product would look like this. Is that what it is? 70? Stingray, huh? I should not have that kind of car because I will get a ticket every other miles. You can paint all you want, you can decorate all you want without first you're taking the garbage out. You're just making a nice decorated pretty, no, actually it's not even pretty, decorated, painted a piece of junk without proper procedure. Whether it's a temple, whole church building, or a person's heart, garbage must be removed if we are going to have a spiritual restoration for the Lord. Tonight we are going to learn the proper way of the restoration of godliness from the what King Hezekiah did. Let's learn from the truth. Let's stop and pray. Father, we want to know your ways. When we sin against you, Father, the temple of the Holy Spirit must be restored of the godliness. Teach us, remind us not to even go there, but if we ever go there, you're faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse the temple of the Holy Spirit. We love you, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 28 of 2 Chronicles, please. I'm hoping to finish this by next Thursday. And after that, Book of Jeremiah. But before we go to Book of Jeremiah, of course, we're going to study the Book of Psalm first. So read ahead from what we left in last Sunday, okay? A week before Sunday. Chapter 28, verse 1, please. Ahaz was 28 years old when he became a king, and he reigned in the 16th years in Jerusalem, and he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord as his father David had done. Just in case you are wondering, was he actually son of the David? No, he was not. This is a common Jewish way to say the ancestor as just simply father. Verse 2. For he walked in the ways of the king of Israel, and made a molded image for the Baals. He burned incense in the valley of Son of Hinnom, and burned his children in the fire, according to the abomination of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Skedaddle to the verse 6, please. For Pekah, the son of Remaliah, killed 120,000 in the Judah in one day, all valiant men, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. Let's go down to verse 16. At the same time, the king Ahaz sent to the king of Assyria to help him. Go down to verse 22. Now in the time of his distress, King Ahaz became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord. This is that King Ahaz. Stop there. I'm going to explain to you why I skipped and highlighted a few portions. King Ahaz was just a horrible king, unlike his father Jotham and his grandfather Uzziah. This guy started, Uzziah's case, he started well, went down the drain, as you know. But this guy, Ahaz, started wrong and he ended wrong. In my opinion, he was a pure evil because he was horrible and terrible altogether. He had to be his own man, unlike his father and grandfather. And how bad was he? He was terrible enough to sacrifice his own children to idol for his own benefit. A pagan idol called Molech has a dog face with arms stretched out. It was in the pagan country around Israel. They had this thing, and there's a brazen going on underneath. Actually, the hole is here, and they put a bunch of the material to burn and start the fire, and this will start to glow, burning hot in red as a part of their worship. Was they are literally putting the child in the arms of this Molech and to drain the sound of a baby crying, they start to beat the drum so loud you cannot hear the child's crying. That was their idea of worship of Molech. God clearly forbid the child sacrifice to Molech in Leviticus chapter 18, chapter 20, and 2 Kings chapter 23, and Jeremiah 32. We'll revisit that again. Speaking of child sacrifice, do you know that people still do a child sacrifice for their convenience sake all around the world today? Yes, I'm talking about abortion. Their justification, they argue that and it's a woman's right. You know where I'm standing for this. But in reality, it's all about their convenience and no responsibility. From the aftermath of the sexual revolution of the 60s and 70s, it became a common thing for a young girl or woman to have abortion for their convenience. To them, they didn't want to have a responsibility of carrying a child, a baby for 9 months and raising their precious life. So they offer the lives of babies to the God of pleasure and burned in the abortionist assailant solution. Abortion advocate and the liberals are not, even though they think they are very civilized and sophisticated people, they are not civilized people at all, because they are still doing the same thing what the ancient pagan people did. One person's sin can affect, go back to the verse 16, and I'm sorry, rather 6. Did you notice that 120,000 people got killed because King Ahaz's decision? One person's sin can affect those who are around that person. It gets much worse when a leader is in sin deeply, like a King Ahaz. He led him into the idolatry, and they paid for it with the lives of 120,000 people and more. In verse 16, we see Ahaz asking help for the Tiglath-Pileser, the king of Assyria, to come and help him by giving him money. Guess what the Tiglath-Pileser did? He took the money. Did he come help? No. He just took the money. That's a typical of what Satan does to a human. He makes us think that he's the best buddy when we are in distress. And he promised that he will help us, is giving us the thinking that he will help us. In the meanwhile, God is silent. Seems like our God is not answering our prayer. But when the time comes, Satan leaves us high and dry without help. Typical. Instead of repenting, Ahaz got worse than before. Time of a trial and distress do not guarantee necessarily to drive people closer to God. Sometimes the people allow their such a distress to drive them away from God. I'm sure you heard some of your friends or the relative during the difficult time of somebody's death. They use that as an excuse to walk away from God. Or divorce. Many Christians walk away from God because I cannot say that they put their too much trust on their spouse. For whatever the reason is, they choose to walk away from God. Ahaz was digging deep himself into trouble against the Lord. Let's go to chapter 29, verse 3. Now we see the restoration begins by the Hezekiah. Verse 3. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the door. I want you to note that word. He opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Then, what does he say? He brought in the priests and the Levites, gathered them in the east square, and said to them, "Hear me, Levites. Now sanctify yourself and sanctify the house of the Lord, God of your fathers, and carry out the rubbish from the holy place." Did you notice that? Carrying out the rubbish. Verse 10. "Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us." Go down to verse 15. "Then they gathered their brethren, sanctified themselves, and went according to the commandment of the king and at the word of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord." The name Hezekiah means "the Lord strengthens." During his reign of the 29 years from the 715 BC to the 687 BC, King Hezekiah needed God's strength to accomplish all that he did. He was one of the few kings who actually removed all the altars from the high places. Many godly kings tried to do that, but they didn't. So they said, well, he allowed the Israeli people to worship God in the high places. It's like a drug addict. He cannot stay away from the drug den, so he's going to stay there but not smoking the dope. Really, how long do you think it's going to last before he goes back to the drug? Not very long time. He restored the temple worship and encouraged people from both Judah and Israel to come to the temple in Jerusalem and worship the Lord. One thing we must keep in mind that is that the sequence of the event of Hezekiah's life in the scripture are not strictly in chronological order. Listen up, please. Some people think that everything written in the Bible is in chronological order. It's not. Let me make an example. In chapter 38 and 39 of the book of Isaiah, Hezekiah had the illness. Remember, he was about to die, and he pleaded to the Lord. He got cured. He was healed. Then, right after that, he welcomed the envoy from the Babylonian kingdom. Remember that? We studied Isaiah 38, 39. That is before the chapters 36 and 37 of Isaiah, where he had the invasion of the Assyrian king Tiglath-Pileser. So, since we studied the portion in 36 through 39 in Isaiah, we are not going to go cover that. That is located in chapter 32 in 2 Chronicles. King Hezekiah wisely noticed that abandoning the temple worship by the northern kingdom result in the captivity in Assyria. At the same time, southern kingdom, the Judah, where he was a king, they were starting to doing the idolatry. So the result was an invasion by the Philistia, as well as the Edom and the Syria. Listen, the worship of the Lord in the temple at the time was at the heart of a Jewish nation. If that was not done right, everything else was not done right. Let me put this in our term. Some people say, well, can I be saved without going to church? As a matter of fact, that question was asked by the Desert Toyota salesperson while I was at that place for the my car analysis. He was going to sell a truck, Toyota Tundra, a brand new truck to me, but I was selling Jesus to him within 15 minutes. And he said, you sound like trying to brainwash me. So I said, yeah, I am. You're a car salesman. I'm a Jesus salesman. He understood exactly what I'm talking about. Now, people say, I can go to church, I can stay home, still be saved. Is it true? Yes. Can the person be saved and become a believer and stay as a believer without going to church? Yes, they can. That person can be a still believer without going to church. But in what case? What's the percentage of people? Not very good. The Bible says that we need a fellowship with the fellow believers. It said, do not forsake the assembly of the believers. There's a reason why we should stay with one another. I mentioned about the charcoal. Remember barbecue grill illustration on Sunday morning? Yeah. That's the thing. We need one another to lift up each other. But people think that they can get away without doing it, having a fellowship. I want you to notice the step King Hezekiah took. In your outline, this is what I wrote. Opening the door of the temple in verse 3. Bring in the priests and Levite back to the temple, verse 4, instead of the pagan priest. Third step, carrying out the rubbish from the holy place of the temple, verse 5. Making a covenant with the Lord to follow him in verse 10. And last step, sanctifying themselves according to the word of God and cleansing the house of God in verse 15. Making sense? Let me put in the same thing. We must open our heart. We must bring Jesus into our heart, the priest, high priest. And removed all the garbage, defiled thought from our heart. Make a covenant with the Lord and be obedient to His word. And sanctify ourselves with the word of God. Remember, there's a three step I told you about. Justification. God justify us with the blood of Jesus Christ. The last step, when we get to heaven, it's a glorification. In between, there's a sanctification. It's not done one time. It's done daily, moment by moment. Not even daily is enough for us, right? Because we can sin many times in within 24-hour period. Sanctification is required every moment. So the same five steps that Hezekiah took must be taken in our heart. Restoration cannot happen with the garbage and debris inside and outside. Remember what I told you at the beginning. Restoration of the Corvette or restoration of the antique house. Start with removing the garbage from inside. We have to clear out everything first. If we ought to have a revival in the Lord's work, we must begin with the cleansing. Over the years, individuals and the churches can gradually accumulate great deal of religious garbage in their denominational rules and regulations as well as a religious ritual while ignoring the essentials of the spiritual worship. Revival only starts from the house of God first. Don't expect the unbelievers to all of a sudden become a born-again Christian and fight up for God. It must start from the house of God. Did you notice? How many of you guys have been living in the same house more than 5 years? Okay. When you guys are living in the other home and out in the side of the road, and then now you moved to the new location, did you notice how much you accumulated while you lived there?
We still have an impact.
Yeah. We all remember that, right? You just don't realize how much you accumulated in one place. You don't know that until you start packing things. It's like a, what am I, pack rat? And that's about the claim we can have. Go to, keep your finger in the Second Chronicle. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4, 17, please. I cannot even imagine moving now, because I look upstairs, downstairs, and I look around my office like I hope that Jesus comes soon. 4:17. For the time has come for the judgment to begin where? Very good. And it begins with you us what? Last? No, first. What will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Please listen to me carefully. It is not by doing some unique new things that the world offers so that we can have more experience of the new blessing from the Lord, but by returning to the godly and right things, the basic things of the Lord, and do them well. If we confess our sin and obey His commandment from the Bible and pray to the Lord for His will over ours and offer ourselves as death sacrifice or living sacrifice? Exactly. The Lord will see and hear and will send His blessing. It's a simple thing, but we shouldn't do often. Speaking of going back to the godly things, basic things that we learn from the beginning. My first Bible verse that I memorized is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You all know this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will make your path straight. And sometimes I wonder, why don't you do what you memorize at the beginning? Instead of fretting, instead of worrying. I'm better, much, much better than 27 years ago. But I still have a long, long way to go. Instead of looking for a new thing, let me put it this way. Charismatic brothers and sisters are into new thing, new experience. That emotional experience, if you go to this level, you got to have something more jazzed up. And more jazzed up. Otherwise, they feel like they are in stale position. So they pastors and leaders constantly have to come up with something more jazzed up thing. Pretty soon, they cannot come up with anything more jazzed up thing from the Word of God. So what do? They concoct something that is not in the Word of God. That's how they start to go off the limit. Let's go to chapter 30. And verse 1, Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and also wrote letter to the Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel. Verse, go down to verse 10, please. So the runners passed from the city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh as far as Zebulun, that they laughed at them and what? Mocked them. This is the courier. This is their version of Federal Express and UPS people, and they were mocked. Go down to verse 18, please. For a multitude of people, many from the Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun had not cleansed themselves. Yet they at the Passover, contrary to what was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, may the good Lord provide atonement for everyone who prepared his heart. Note that, please. I want you to underline, circle the heart to seek the Lord. The heart to seek God, the Lord God of his father. He prepared his heart. It did not say who prepared all this ritual. Very important. Though he is not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. Verse 20. And the Lord listened to Hezekiah and healed the people. King Hezekiah invited people from the Ephraim and Manasseh, Zebulun and Issachar to come and join at the temple of Jerusalem for the Passover. He did this out of his genuine heart, not with the ulterior motive. Now, some of you guys who have a very keen memory for the ancient Israel history will say, hey, preacher, you have a problem. We have a problem here. Wouldn't the king of northern Israel object the invitation of King Hezekiah and allow them to go to Jerusalem for the temple worship? Remember, Jeroboam did not want his people to travel down to southern kingdom to where the Rehoboam is the king. So he built his own temple, two different locations, and then started golden calf worship. Why wouldn't this king stop his people going down to the south? Let me explain. Good thinking. However, since the division of the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom for 200 years, two centuries, this would have been prohibited. But at the point when the northern, at this point, and when the northern kingdom was under the occupation of Assyria, and Assyria put their puppet king, King Hosea. He did not have a whole lot of power. Besides, King Hezekiah at this point was a powerful king. So northern kingdom king, King Hosea, did not have a whole lot of say to his own people when Hezekiah invited them. Am I making sense? In verse 10, there is always mockers against the truth and the word of God. They are short-sighted and ignorant people who are rejecting the truth of God for the sake of their own carnal desires. We still have them. I'm sure you know a few of them. More than few. Actually, many of them, right? They don't make fun of the people like Stephen Hawking, British physicist. Whatever he said, people believe. As a matter of fact, he had an interview with the BBC yesterday. He said, I'll just read it to you. According to the interview with the BBC in December 3, 2013, Hawking warned the development of a full artificial intelligence, also known as AI, could spell the end of the human race. Well, in my opinion, I think he watched the Hollywood movie one too many times. At the same time, this brilliant scientist is absolutely ignorant in the truth of God by rejecting and mocking. The reason why he thinks that the human race will be extinct by the artificial intelligence AI is because machine will take over. The human creation will be better than God creation. That's the bottom line in his mind. Don't ever think that human mind is better than God's mind, God's creation. Never. Go back, go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want you to mark this verse. Put it in your heart, memorize. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, please. By the way, I was really, really, really tempted to start the 1 Corinthians instead of Hebrews, because 1 Corinthians was the first book I taught when we started the church. Besides, sounds like a good time for us to study the 1 Corinthians. Verse 14, but the natural man, which means unbelievers, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because what? Spiritually discerned. Exactly. They don't get it. They just plain don't get it. So contrary to this, Marcus, remnant of the northern tribe wanted to worship the Lord in the temple in Jerusalem. They naturally did not know how to sanctify themselves. Because why? Because they were not taught for 200 years how to sanctify themselves. And they didn't know anything about Passover other than worshiping pagan gods. But Hezekiah, this sensitive king, godly king, knew that these people would come down with a good preparation. So he interceded on behalf of them, and God accepted their heart. If there were any legalists amongst their congregation, I'm sure they were not happy that they were not consecrated and they are not sanctified the people from those northern people. But God didn't care. If the God's people today would prepare their heart for the worship as much care as they prepare the Sunday best apparel, the Lord would send His blessing on His church. Would you agree with that? They put out so much effort. Probably not the Calvary. I'm talking to the wrong congregation, because they come in with the jeans or the short and the t-shirt. If that's the best best Sunday apparel, I wonder what it's like on the rest of the weekdays. Okay, perfectly sense. Makes sense. As long as they have a gun, I'm cool. Chapter 31, please. Now, restoration of the dear heart. What? No. Go down to verse 4, please. Chapter 31, verse 4. Moreover, he commanded the people who dwelt in Jerusalem to contribute the support for the priests and the Levites, that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. As soon as the commandment was circulated, children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruit of grain and wine, oil and honey, of all the produce of the land, and they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. And the people of children of Israel and Judah who dwell in the cities of Judah brought the tithe of oxen and sheep, also the tithe of holy things which are consecrated to the Lord their God, they laid in the heaps. In the third month, they began to laying them in the heaps, and they finished in the seventh month. And when Hezekiah and the leaders came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Then Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest and from the house of Zadok, answered him, said, since the people began to bring the offering into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have plenty left. For the Lord has blessed his people, and what is left is this great abundance. Now, Hezekiah commanded them to prepare rooms in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them. Then they faithfully, note that word, underline, highlight, point the finger on that thing, faithfully brought in the offerings, the tithes, and dedicated things. Kononiah the Levite had a charge of them, and Shimei, his brother, was the next. You know, there are only few occasions in the Bible said for the preparation for the temple, a tabernacle, temple, and the church, they had more abundance than that they could handle. I cannot imagine what that would be like, having more than they need. By the mercy of God, our church paid the bills on time. Thank God. But we don't have that kind of abundance. They're just laying in the heaps. Obviously, many people in our congregation do not obey the Lord. I'm talking to the choir, so it's probably that this does not apply to you. But when it comes to the offering and tithing, they do not obey the Lord. Bottom line. It is their loss and their own robbery against their own blessing from the Lord. I'm a firm believer of measuring the spiritual maturity of a believer with the percentage, not the amount or amount of the money, but rather percentage of the one's tithe out of his income. Because it's a matter of faith in the Lord who provides. If that person is making $100 a week, if that person is only giving $1, that's not a tithe. Tithe means 10%. And some people will argue until they blow the face. Well, I give them, you know, this much small amount, and I work at the church. Okay, that's your offering. We're just tithe. Their loss, not mine. Let me put it this way, very simply. Our builder, correct? The Grail. They came up with the numbers. It's a lot more than what we expected. If everyone in our congregation, we have about 80 families. If everyone in our congregation tithe, we can pay that off. We can pay that off in 3 years. But as is now, I don't know if we can even make a payment, monthly payment. Two applications. Number one, restoration of the godliness for individuals, churches, or nations starts at the heart of the believers. You agree with me on this? Second application, unless we remove the defiled things out of our hearts, become obedient to the God's word, revival cannot happen in our hearts. Whatever we take out from our heart must be refilled with from the Bible. Otherwise, our heart becomes one of those hearts that swept clean and the Satan gives room for Satan to push their way around.